Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
I don't like the purple one.
Could these owls be related to the ones that were attacking joggers about a year ago?
They're the same sort of owls.
They are. Yes.
Are owls rare? I mean, can't we just displace them?
These owls are alcoholic owls, and it has been a disaster for these trees.
18 months.
Yes. Well, they said there's a federal law that protects the nests of migratory birds that will prevent the MTA from cutting into forest
areas.
What
doesn't the government have a law about? You know what I'm saying?
This is General George Washington, and you're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
All righty then, plausibly live, once again back in the undisclosed location on the third floor in Chevy Chase, Maryland. We're on the air with Gary Braun. Luke Russert liked us so much last week that he showed up again, which makes me very happy. Michael Kornheiser
coming
is
out
here.
Of the pen.
Nigel is here, not doing news today because we don't have news, because we are in NCAA mode, where we just go out and get our friends to pick brackets for the celebrity bracket part of the, what is it, the bracket challenge? What do we call
this? The ESPN Tournament Challenge.
Oh, we're folded into the ESPN Tournament Challenge?
We are indeed. We're trying to sync up with your PTI bracket.
Well, what, okay.
Cross-pollination, that's called in the media world.
Wait, what about the gifts that we give out to the winners, to the littles?
We can give out our own gifts.
Oh, we do that, right? Do we have lots of gifts?
We do. Among the prizes that will be, and I believe this is going to be pretty much at the top of the heap, it's either going to be first or second place,
what?
Is a statue of Vlad Putin without a shirt riding a bear.
That's right.
So packaged meat this year.
That's a good
I saw a piece of meat. It did not look packaged. So I didn't see a piece of meat in the prize closet that I thought.
So what else do we have? We have somebody sent some shirts.
Well, yeah, we've got shirts.
Ties, neckties,
I believe
for sure.
We have ties.
Ties, maple
ties
syrup.
Ties imported from Japan.
From Japan, yes. We've got some
without
maple.
Tariffs.
Yes, tariff-free ties. Yes, those are really very good important.
Ties. Maybe a WWTKD bracelet.
We have some of those. We have, and just nicks and knacks, you know, that has been
Patty
sent
wax.
To us. Okay. Yeah, give the dog a bone.
All right, so you wanted to interrupt the show, the total flow of the show.
You wanted to interrupt the show.
This is Nigel's time.
Screech the brakes.
Then we're going to talk about snow for a while.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I just have to say thank you to Noah Petro over at NASA Goddard, who invited me to come over and get a tour of the NASA facility on Friday.
Great.
And it turns out there's a lot of littles who work over at NASA.
This is the Greenbelt one.
Yes, the one over at Greenbelt.
Not Houston.
No, I didn't go to Houston. I'm not allowed to fly for a variety of reasons.
Right. Goddard, but we have a problem.
Yes, first of all, it's fascinating over there. We saw.
I'd like to go, but I wasn't invited.
You have
I could drive there. That's not far.
Yes, if you would like to
just
go.
Just on the Beltway. Isn't
Nigel was
belt?
Raving about this
Tony,
experience.
Would you do the SpaceX for free if they offered it to you for free?
To
no.
go up?
He's not
no,
doing
no.
That.
I'm not going up.
Not enough valium in the world.
First of all, it's great when you pull into the security area and this bloke named Arlen Bartels is there with a sign that says La Cheesery. And you're
like, that's great.
I'm home. Yeah. So thanks to him, to Noah, to John Keller as well, and everyone there. I ended up having a roundtable discussion with a number of astrogeologists, you'll love this, volcanologists.
Fantastic.
And exoplanet experts. So we were talking about all the...
What does that mean, exoplanet?
Remember the seven
planets?
Yeah, other planets. Remember the seven planets that we talked about that they discovered?
Trafficant or something?
Trappists.
Trappist monks.
Trafficant's in jail still, isn't he?
Yeah. No, I think he died,
Is he out? Okay.
I think he died.
Okay.
Let me double check that. Actually, I'm almost very 100% confident. Well, Gary, Jim Trafficant?
I'll check that.
Yeah, I think he's no longer with us.
He had the great toupee.
He had a wonderful toupee.
His toupee made Tony Bennett's toupee look bad. And Tony Bennett has a great toupee.
So, I was talking to them about the Trappist planets, and it was just this fascinating discussion. We saw the James Webb Space Telescope.
Dead.
Which will be...
But not Jim Webb. Not the
Jim
guy who
Webb.
Wrote, by the time I get to Phoenix.
Not Jimmy Webb. No.
James Webb, the senator from Virginia.
I guess this was possibly named after James.
That could have been an earmark, but I don't think
Secretary of Interior wasn't it James
he was
Webb?
Only
oh, yes. Yeah, Watt.
No, that one.
James Watt. Was the secretary, too, who
but
looked
he was
like
not
a light bulb.
Was the one who said
but
no
he wasn't
Beach
very
Boys.
Friendly.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. So I don't know who it was named after, James Webb.
Who are you thanking?
I'm thanking Noah.
Everyone.
Because play the music now, because he's just going
play him off.
Yeah, but you should go. You would love
I'd
it.
Love
that would
to
be
go.
A great field trip.
Yes. So we had a pop-up podcast last night at Chad's, and I thought we did very well, and then I found out this morning when I looked at my phone, because I don't look at my phone for hours at a time. Michael, there seemed to have been a problem.
There was an issue with Wi-Fi, so the show was a little late in getting online, but it got up eventually, probably 9:15.
Yes,
and I think everyone's been enjoying it
by
so far.
By issue with Wi-Fi, do you mean that there was none at Chad's?
There is no currently Wi-Fi at Failing Chad's.
Right.
So at Failing Chad's, sad. Why can't we? Did we know this?
It says there's Wi-Fi. Well, I just don't think it could handle the volume of listeners who showed up.
I spoke to Bob about this last night at Chad's.
I don't know what Wi-Fi is.
There is, I think there are connectivity issues or maybe bandwidth issues. Like it can only take so much or so many people. So we were flying blind a little bit. I mean, we had Sean made the bracket and stuff, and we were able to print out brackets. But
yes,
yeah, none of us.
It takes a while to upload, big sound files, which is what the show is.
Big sound files, technical term.
Can we get? I'm an owner of Chad's. Yeah. I, by fiat, say, give us Wi-Fi? Who's the Wi-Fi agent?
You need to do this because
agent.
It's very important. Millennials want to hook up to all their social
networks. Well, forget millennials. If you're going to regularly do a show from
there. You're going to do a show every single day. Yeah. So.
And tourists. Tourists want the free Wi-Fi as well.
How do we do that?
I think you just did. I think you issued
Michael,
decree.
How does one do that? How does
all
one
Verizon
say,
just we want all of it.
Give us the Wi-Fi.
Give us the Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
I think you just handled that.
Okay. Right.
And by the way, just so you're clear.
Good job, by the way. Nice management.
I know
give us the Wi-Fi, damn it!
I know you don't understand what Wi-Fi is. Do you know what Nilla wafers are?
Yes, I do.
Very similar.
I know what Nilla wafers are. Okay, so we did a good job, I thought.
Yeah, it was fun to do a show like
now,
that.
And as a matter of fact.
Missed out on the chili, though.
We did. Oh, Wilbon.
Wilbon went ballistic.
God, he was hangry.
Wilbon was really hangry. Wilbon last night,
from effing California. I wanted some effing chili.
Yeah, just
it's tremendous.
Insane. Wilbon went insane.
We have to name it Wilbon's chili from now on.
Yeah, we had to settle for small bites of crab cakes. And that was Wilbon off air was just incredibly angry. But Luke, you got the offer to go to Chaz. Tell the people.
My childhood friend, Johnny Greenwald, who I speak to every now and then, texts me. He's now at the Navy studying to become a doctor. And goes, I want to go to Chaz. I've heard about this big show they're doing. Let's go to Chaz. I mean, Chaz is reconnecting lifelong friends who don't speak all the time. We're going to go later in the week. We're going to watch some college basketball at Chad's.
Yes, we have
TVs. With the beer special, the beer bucket special, which is
TVs
not happened yet, but maybe it will.
Well, TVs are great, aren't they?
Yes, the TVs terrific. Look great. And we should point out.
What is the beer bucket special?
I'm trying to create
it's a Luke Russert special.
Yeah, the Luke Russert special.
Name
Rolling Rocks for, I don't know, 20 bucks? Is that a good deal?
How many?
Pony bottles.
The pony bottles for 20 bucks.
Ponies. Always nice. There was actually a fair representation of Littles there last night, which always surprises me.
Great.
It was always a pleasure to
TVs
meet
are
and
great.
Shake hands.
Everything was good last night.
Yes.
Better items on the menu each day and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Sam Neill shows up.
Great.
Yes, it was great to see Sam Neill.
Not the actor.
Sam Neill, just a gem of a guy getting married in Greece this summer. I'm going to try and make it to the wedding. Still to this day, I mean, if there is a Capital City Little League Hall of Fame, he's first ballot.
He is.
First ballot.
How many strikeouts in Little League World Series?
This was the Eastern Regional, I think 15. He held the record
for
10 years.
First ballot.
Sam Neill.
He could throw that speedball right by you, right?
That's right.
Make you look like a fool, boy.
Okay, so now let us get to the most important thing. And no, it's not the NCAAs for me locally. It's snow. Sheena Parveen was not on today. She's probably on the Today Show tomorrow.
Well, she got to rest up.
Yeah. They're on. They start at 4 in the morning tomorrow, local Channel 4. Chuck Bell did the heavy lifting today. Chuck Bell, gleeful, giddy, salivating at the notion that even inside the district line could be 8. Could be 8 inside the district line, 8 to 12 moving north and west, and almost nothing at all in the lower portions of Maryland, so that if you're in, just the radius of listening or watching anything locally in Washington, you're in St. Mary's County, for example, nothing.
Right.
All rain, nothing.
Keep the cross-country
skis
in the garage.
But where I am, so here's my problem. My problem is this. The offer has been made by everyone at ESPN that I could go to my home away from home, as could a lot of people tonight, a home away from home, which is the Mayflower Hotel, right across the street. Now, you say, well, how could that be? How could all the rooms be available? Because no one's coming in. Okay, because
that's right.
The people that are normally going to come in are not going to come in, because every single flight starting at about 9 o'clock at night, every single flight up and down the East Coast has been canceled. This is on the Today Show. They've all been canceled already. Today and tonight and tomorrow, everything has been canceled. I would normally do that, and I would bag this show. I would say, okay, you know, it's a podcast. We don't have to do it tomorrow. Or I could try to do it from ABC and see if I could set something up, which would be fine. Nigel and I have done that numerous times. Yes. And we could grab somebody off the street who was staying there overnight, and we could do a show. But because John O'Donnell, our partner now, who we love. Johnny O clothing that everybody loves. Johnny O set to come to this area tonight.
So arrives at 4:30 p.m., so he's coming in before the snow.
But I don't know that we... I'm just telling you people that I don't know that we can do a show tomorrow.
We'll get it out.
I hope we can do a show. I hope we can... it's an arduous travel.
We could
for
probably
me
do
to
a
get
show.
Here.
We're just not sure we can get it to you, the people.
Yeah, I just don't... I mean, I hope to be able to get...
Have you done
to
the visit to the
location.
Soviet Safeway on Wisconsin Avenue yet? Or sorry, Connecticut Avenue yet? Have you made your
visit? The one that's behind the...
Refugee.
The refugee Safeway.
Oh, okay, sorry. I call it the Soviet Safeway. Although that's the
that one's in
DuPont.
DuPont
Circle.
That's,
yes. Well, they're very similar.
They have no food.
Soviet Safeway 1, Soviet Safeway 2.
They just have no food.
You're a social Safeway kind of guy.
I am the Georgetown Safeway.
Well, that's the fancy one.
And it's always well stocked.
The refugee Safeway, in a situation like this where people are panicking and going to do the milk and the toilet paper... The parking
out.
Lot can't handle that.
All
traffic.
Cleaned out. By 3 o'clock this afternoon, the only thing left in the
this.
Store is Goya beans.
Right.
That's all that's left. Nothing else is
but
in there.
Do you
there.
Think I should Sorry. Go to the Refugee Safeway or the Georgetown Safeway? Because I'm trying to think about
Georgetown. Well, the Georgetown Safeway is much it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is, but...
And they sell wine.
I'm worried by the time we're done taping this. We could have a run there. I be better to.
We'll
go
be
to a closer
done taping
one.
This at 9:30 in the morning.
This is a crazy area for this. But
it
stuff.
Reminds me of we had a blizzard a couple of years ago. I was at the social Safeway, and again, you see the people with the bread and the milk and the toilet paper. And there was that one bloke I told you about that had a huge shopping cart with a watermelon, a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew, and some peanut butter. Hey, like, he was like, I've got to have
the apocalypse is coming.
That doesn't get you out of the first night of the storm.
The panic situation is this. It's not just the snow. It's a combination of snow and the wind behind it with the nor'easter.
Right.
And the power lines all come down.
Yes.
And you're stuck in your house without any power.
Well,
for
the tree's already blooming.
And you can't. The cherry blossoms
freezing.
Are done.
Yeah, they're going to be
dead. That was announced today. They're done. They're dead. The cherry tree's not dead. The cherry blossoms will all be dead. By tomorrow.
But, you know, Tony, I spent all this time in January, February traveling in the Southern Hemisphere specifically to not deal with this.
Right. You had
and
no, you had no snow.
March. I know. And it's hitting me in March. I mean, what gives?
Yeah, the Bug King of Baltimore got back from his winter hibernation in Florida yesterday.
Well, that's a wrong
Can you imagine
time.
That?
He should have waited one more week. Yeah. And Chuck Bell says it's going to be cold all week. None of the snow will melt. I mean, in the way that it's supposed to melt. In this time of year.
I think Nat's spring training looks pretty good right now.
You should go.
I might.
You should
I
go.
Might.
Do I have anything else? I really, the only thing that I have before we get into brackets is the best thing I saw all night was Kyle Busch or Kurt Busch or one of those was in a race and he got in an accident on the last lap with Joey Logano. And he was so angry because he thought Joey Logano deliberately took him out of the race. That he went over and started to try to punch Joey Logano in the head, which is it's odd to, since everyone
there
wears
it is it's on the TV right
everyone
now.
Wears the same color yellow suit. You don't really know who's punching everybody, but Kurt Busch, who initiated this, was cut on the head. He was the one who walked out with a rivulet of blood straight down from his head. And Joey Logano was asked, "Did he punch you?" And he goes, "I don't think so. I don't know.
Not sure.
I don't know." And nobody likes the Busch brothers. Nobody really likes them. Kurt and Kyle. So anyway.
There's an element. I was friendly back in the day with a race car driver named Brian Vickers. You might know from those commercials he did with the late Arnold Palmer and Chris Bosch.
Oh, yeah.
Blood clots.
Xarelto. Yeah. Which is now, I think, off the market.
Wow.
Well, when you're old.
Yeah.
But you told me. Wow. That was incredible. That
yeah. Very prolific.
Point that one out of the memory bank. But he told me that there's a hockey element here, is that they want them to go at it. Fisticuffs.
Yeah, NASCAR loves this.
They don't want to kill each other on the track, though. If you try to hurt someone on the track intentionally,
right,
that's where you kill somebody. Right.
Can I get to one more thing? And I haven't seen this, but I know it was teased on the Today program that somebody who claims to have been a lover of Princess Diana is now revealing this. That's wrong. And that you let that go. You don't. You know what?
I don't even give
don't do that. Yeah. She died Her children, just let it go.
Can I say something on that point?
Yes.
I saw this last week, and this upsets me. I don't want to see another Princess Diana or JFK Jr. love diary, love affair. Let them rest in peace.
Please.
Gosh. Please. I don't care.
It's just,
like, I went to JFK Jr. I was his date at the 7th grade dance. Great. Great. It's over. God bless him. Just let
it go.
It's
a very deep voice for someone who was his date in 7th grade.
One other thing that I think we need to mention before we get to the real brackets. Did you see who Boeheim's facing in the first round of the NIT?
No.
UNC Greensboro.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Greensboro. And what they're calling the Luke Russert Bowl.
Yeah, well, you know what?
Is it at Greensboro?
No, it's at Carradine.
I need 30 seconds really quick. Chris Saliza. You want to know why a lot of people in the media distrust him? He took me so out of context on Twitter, simply tweeting out,
"He killed you,
Luke Russert, Greensboro is not a world-class city." It was in the context of whether or not to host the ACC tournament. It's an unfair advantage to North Carolina schools. The tournament can do better revenue streams in other cities. However, at PTI later that day, Michael Wilbon went to the mat for Greensboro, saying that 24,000 people, I was there in 1986. It was the best tournament I ever did, the best food, blah, 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 blah. So Greensboro, I apologize. Wilbon said it was a great place to be.
Wilbon attacked New York City.
I still don't know. That's the Wilbon way. But yeah, Saliza. I mean,
hashtag failing Chris Saliza. Sad.
Yeah, really sad.
Let's get out of here. We will come back. Ryan will join us. Ryan, Wilbon, the Ock. That's the show. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Movement Read. Movement watches. It's MVMT, pronounced movement. When you go to look it up, it's MVMT. It was founded on the belief that style shouldn't break the bank. The watchmaker's goal is to change the way consumers think about fashion by offering high-quality, minimalist products at Revolutionary Products. With over 1 million watches sold to customers in over 160 countries around the world, Movement Watches has solidified itself as the world's fastest growing watch company. The aforementioned Chris Saliza has a Movement watch. My daughter Elizabeth has a Movement watch that she likes very much, right?
She loves it.
Yeah.
She's much cooler than Chris Saliza.
Well, that's probably true. The company was started by two broke college kids who wanted to wear stylish watches but couldn't afford them. So they started their own watch company. And it says here, how is this like how you started, built a following, launched into podcasts, YouTube, radio, etc.? And the answer is not at all. I mean, I can't even begin.
You weren't broke.
I can't even begin to put myself in that category that I would take a risk on opening a business. In my old age now, I have this business, the podcast business, that I'm totally unqualified
for. You're a restaurateur.
And I own a restaurant with a bunch of other people, and none of us knows what we're doing.
These kids are American Dream stuff.
Yeah,
right
we're clowns. Yeah. We're clowns. So let's not try to make this relatable, all right? They're selling watches. We're just trying to stay ahead of the rat pack on some level. Movement watches start at just $95. At a department store, you're looking at $400 to $500. Movement figured out that by selling online, they were able to cut out the middleman and the retail markup, providing the best possible price. There's classic design, quality construction, and styled minimalism. Over 1 million watches sold in over 160 countries. Can we ask out loud what style minimalism it would mean? There wouldn't be a lot of those sort of whirring things in the middle of the watch.
And the metal is probably simple. It's not highly rich. But you know what? This is the future of watches. And we have here in D.C. the Shinola and these guys movement. You want a watch that has a good story behind it. You just don't want to go to a department store and get a fossil. We want a good story. This is a great story. I love the story here.
Over 1 million sold in over 160 countries. You can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMTWatches.com and then adding Tony. The watch has a really clean design. People who get them, like Saliza and Elizabeth, get compliments all the time. Now's the time to step up your watch game by going to MVMTWatches.com/Tony and joining the movement.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is called Wherever You Are. It's a debut single from the new solo pop music act High School Jacob by Jacob Masters, who's a musician and composer living in Los Angeles. started listening to the show as soon as it became a podcast, and he hasn't missed PTI for over a decade. My dad is originally from D.C. and turned me on to the show when I was in middle school. Now I am a graduate of Wesleyan University. I watch it with him every day. We're both hopeless Skins fans. And now he says his best friend, his dad's best friend, is Peter Melman. Now, Peter Melman is my dear, dear friend. I mean, I go back with Peter Melman 40 years. And Peter Melman is, at one point, was the head writer on a show you might have heard of, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So Melman made enough money that he doesn't ever have to work again. So it said that Wilbon and I actually filmed a happy birthday message for Jacob Masters' dad when he turned 60 because of Melman. So that's
that?
Wonderful.
Yes.
This is a bit modern for me, but it's good for people who are too young.
Sensual.
Bob Ryan joins us now. And before we even get, we're going to do the brackets with Ryan. But before we do that, Ryan is now in the podcast world. Our dear friend Bobby Snyder is putting together and starting in Boston with local sports broadcasts of a podcast nature once a week. And Bobby is doing it. Where are you doing it, and how much have you done so far?
I am doing it from a restaurant called Stars on Hingham Harbor, which is less than 5 minutes from my house.
Good.
I could walk there, as I may need to do this week once the snow hits, and right. I have done it.
It's a Kornheiser model.
That's a dream come true. There are people I have patronized since they opened 28 years ago, and I actually and their predecessor in the same location. It goes back 45 years. So this was a nice gesture for them to take us in and give us a locale. It's once a week. We are posting, or they like to say dropping, on Friday at noon. We are doing it Wednesdays late in the afternoon, 5-ish. That's the plan. We've done one official. We've done two rehearsals, one of which will actually be the next one posted because it was a really good with Bob Cousy, who's 88, is 100% sharp. He was great. We had a great time. I go back with him till I was when I was a student at BC. He was the head coach. So anyway, I'm excited. I something I never, when Bob first started talking to me, Tony, believe me, it was like, when the Patriots were down 28-3 at the half, I never thought it was going to happen. I just didn't really think it would materialize. But he put the thing together, and I just have to show up and be me.
So how would people get it? Plug it.
So on all the conventional ways that you get a podcast, you know, it's on Stitcher and Google Play. But the last hurdle apparently was iTunes. There's a lot of hoops you have to jump through with iTunes. I have none. Tony, I had no knowledge of any of this.
No, don't worry. You're talking to someone who doesn't either.
And so if people are already, if they can find you, they can now find me.
Good. They should find you at Hingham Harbor, which is gorgeous. I mean, it's a gorgeous place
to do a show.
Yeah,
we're looking
out
at the, truly, we're across the street. We're at the harbor. Yeah. We're at a turn on the road on Route 3A on the road to the ocean. The ocean's 5 minutes away at Hull, Mass.
Beautiful.
And so it couldn't be a more ideal scenario
good.
For me. You know,
good.
I mean, 5 minutes from my house.
That's very, very good. All right, you ready to pick brackets?
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to start in the Kansas. The top right on my bracket is Kansas.
Yep, right.
The top left on mine is Villanova. So anything in the first round, anything at all?
Well, I got an 11-6. I'm going with Rhodey. I'm going with Rhodey, and a lot of it is parochial in the heart, but they're kind of dangerous. They're coming off a good win in the A-10 final, so I got them 11-6. That's one.
Right.
I'm trying to think. Let's see here. Any other upsets in there? No. I do have a couple of 12-5s, but this wasn't one of them. In the 8-9 game, by the way, I went Miami over Michigan State. I don't think this is. I just think this culminates a disappointing year for Izzo. So that's all. And then I got Kansas coming out of there.
Wait, so let me ask you a question.
Because
a lot of people are going to say Oklahoma State over Michigan because Michigan just went 4 games in 4 days and did it on adrenaline and that they're done. You don't believe they're done in the first round?
No, I think it's the heartwarming story, the human interest story of the tournament, which is, of course, Michigan and their
right.
troubles, will continue for one more game.
Okay.
And I just do. I don't think they're playing. They're not playing until when?
Thursday, Friday, yeah.
Oh, my God. They're kids. The legs. That's a bogus argument that would be. That's no reason to pick Oklahoma State. The reason you pick Oklahoma State, you think they're going to win the game. Had nothing to do with what happened last week. That's over. They're kids, for God's sake.
Iowa State, Purdue?
I picked I picked Purdue. Purdue is the two big guys impressed me, Haas and especially Swanigan. I thought Swanigan was a legitimate player
of
the year
player.
Candidate.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's a horse. He's a beast. And so I'm just basically, I think that's as far as they go. But although they have a real chance to beat Oregon, but I'm picking Purdue to beat Iowa State.
Rhode Island, Oregon.
Yeah, I really hesitated on this one. Oregon losing Boucher.
Yeah, the will shot
not
blocker.
Be what they would have been, but I think I can't be that crazy. They're still going to have enough left to beat URI.
Michigan, Louisville.
Michigan, Louisville, Louisville. Period. Okay. That's where it ends.
All right, and then Oregon, Louisville.
Louisville.
And Kansas.
And so Kansas, Louisville. I got Kansas coming out of there. I like Kansas.
I can do this forever and ever. Kansas is one of those programs, as Villanova has been, that doesn't go nearly as far as you think they're going to go. I know they've won a national championship, and so that tells people, well, they can do it. But consistently, they don't go as far as you think they're going to go. But you've got
them. First of all, to me, the loss in the tournament without Jackson is irrelevant to everything.
Yes, I agree.
It has nothing to do with anything that we're going to have to happen now. I say this. They're one of the half a dozen teams that if they bring their A game, they're going to win the tournament.
Okay. All right,
let me say something at the outset.
Yes.
Before we even get to who I pick. Regardless of who you wind up hearing me pick, I believe firmly, totally, that regardless of who wins this tournament on the 3rd of April, that if this tournament were to be replayed six times.
Somebody else would win it.
There would be six different winners.
I agree with that. Agree with that. All right, so let's go to what I think is the hardest top of the bracket by far, which is Carolina, Kentucky, and UCLA in the same region, is brutally hard. Go ahead.
For those of us who follow the sport, and ever since I can remember, literally now, that following college basketball, this is the blue blood. You got to be kidding me.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's three of the most important five schools that have ever played basketball.
We're talking basketball. About 19, well, those three, let's see, 11 and 8, 19 and 5, 24 NCAA championships.
Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, you would add Duke and you would add Indiana, and that would be the top five of all time. And that's
By the way, just for the sake of record, there's eight teams that have won 48 of the 78 tournaments and have guarded 101 of the final four spots. That's how much this is a closed shop. People just know it, but you don't realize it until you do those numbers.
Okay, so give me any upsets at all in the first round.
All right, I got a couple 12-5. I don't have anything below 12-5. Or do I? Let me even double check. I don't think so. Yeah, I didn't have the guts to pull the trigger on any. Oh, I do. Yeah, my biggest upset. You ready?
Yeah.
I'm going back to the well with Florida Gulf Coast. I got them beating Florida State.
Wow.
Okay, but that's not on this bracket.
All right, on this bracket. I'm sorry.
On this one,
okay,
the North Carolina bracket.
Middle Tennessee. What? That's my first 12-5.
What?
I got Middle Tennessee beating the Little Patinos.
Oh.
Okay.
You had a good tournament.
I do.
Middle Tennessee. Okay, what else? Nothing else?
The Wichita State, to me, the most underseeded team in the entire tournament is Wichita State at 10.
So you have them beating Dayton?
Absolutely.
Okay.
To me, that's like no-brainer.
Okay,
that,
so you have
a rematch.
You
Kentucky.
Have Arkansas advancing, right?
Arkansas. Oh, no.
8-9.
Oh, I got – that's a 9-8
game. That's an upset. 8-9.
That's an upset.
It is an upset.
Let me explain something to you, Tony Kornheiser. If you don't know this by now, then I don't know why people are giving you a public forum to do anything.
This is an upset. 9-8 is an upset.
From 6-11 on, there are no upsets. The last upset is 12-5. That's it. It's 13-4. That's the last upset. It's 4-13. After that, 5-12 is barely 500 the last couple of years. And nothing after that is an upset. 8-9 is nothing. That's not an upset.
It's an upset by the numbers.
Victory. Seton Hall's beaten Arkansas.
Okay. Okay. UNC, Seton Hall.
UNC. UNC's beaten Seton Hall.
Okay. Middle Tennessee, Butler.
That it ends there, Butler. But Middle Tennessee could do it. That's one to keep your eye on.
Cincinnati, UCLA.
Out of respect.
Cincinnati, UCLA.
Oh God, UCLA, the best offensive team in America, and I'll tell you what, I came real close to picking somebody to beat Cincinnati before that. Even I was going to go Wake Forest, but right. I didn't have the guts to do it.
Kentucky, Wichita State.
Oh, Kentucky. Yeah, it's funny. Isn't that funny how they could get matched up again?
Isn't this the second time in 4 years?
No, I'm saying it's bizarre. With all the possible permutations, they could wind up, and very likely, in my opinion, will wind up playing each other in the second round. But Kentucky will prevail again.
All right, Carolina, Butler.
Carolina.
And at the bottom of the bracket, a great game. A great game in the round of 16.
Well, it was the game of the year already.
Yeah.
You know, the first time. It was the game of the year. You knew it at that time, and it held up. There was not a better college basketball game played this year than the first UCLA-Kentucky game. And that's when I discovered what an incredible offensive force UCLA was. UCLA is going to beat Kentucky.
And, okay, so that sets up something. It's just UNC-UCLA is just, it's so rich. Who you got?
And this is just a whim, but I'm rooting. I guess this is the heart is prevailing heart because I love the way they play, and I have nothing against the other guys. Nothing. I like them, I'm picking UCLA to win, beat Carolina, even though I don't know if I really believe it.
Okay. All right. Let's go to the top left.
Yep.
The Villanova bracket.
Okay. I got a 12-5. I got NC Wilmington beating the very erratic, they're unreliable Virginia. It's funny. I didn't see all that many games in person this year. I saw Virginia twice. And the first time I saw them at Boston College, I was impressed with the efficiency of their offense. We all know they play defense. And then I saw them against Villanova in a terrific game, one at the buzzer. But and their offense is better than people think. But then they have a lot of games they laid eggs, and I'm picking NC Wilmington.
Okay, so you have SMU.
I do have SMU. I have I have SMU beating the winner of the Providence USC, who I just for the sake of argument there I think will be USC.
And you have Wisconsin moving on.
I do not have Wisconsin moving on. I have Virginia Tech in that non-upset of the 9 over the 8.
This is an upset.
Yes, that's not an upset. How can 9 and 8 be an upset?
It's technically an upset. One is seated ahead of the other.
Yeah, but it's just a marginal. They have to make these decisions, Tony. It doesn't mean that they think the teams are substantially different. They're different by a matter of degrees and then only in your opinion.
Marquette, South Carolina?
Marquette is beating South Carolina.
That's an upset, right?
That's a 10-7. You can call it an upset.
Thank you. I will. Okay. Villanova, Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech's pretty good.
They're pretty good. I know. And I have them. Ready, Tony? They're upsetting the Badgers in the first round.
Yes, that's an upset. Are they upsetting the defending champion Villanova?
No, they're not. Villanova, okay. Defending champion Villanova is beating Virginia Tech. Florida is beating Wilmington. SMU is beating Baylor, which means that that's an upset because a 6 is beating a 3.
Yes,
that what constitutes as an upset. Okay. And then Duke, of course, is beating Marquette.
Krzyzewski takes out his old bench coach.
Wojo.
Okay.
Wojo,
Villanova, Florida.
Good game, but Villanova's winning.
I like Villanova. I watched them 8-9 times this year. They're steady. They're good. SMU, Duke.
Duke. The Duke is winning. And Villanova, Duke. And here we go. Duke is the hottest team. They're the scariest team now that they've got Giles.
Tatum. Tatum's really good.
You know what the interesting thing about this game is? Here's the two teams that have the same problem or the same issue of the whole elite teams. Depth. Here's the depth. So this is the one game where they each play 7. That's it.
So it doesn't hurt them.
Neither. That's it. They only play 7 that they trust. And I got the Dukies beating.
And once again, they have
the easiest path
to the Final Four. Bob's every year, Duke gets the easiest path to the Final Four.
It sounds like a whining. Is this a
Luke Russert is whining, but because you're both BC guys, he feels you're going to give him a pass.
Yeah, Bob's got some killer regional finals far.
All right, let's go to.
I got Duke coming out of the East.
The bottom of the bracket. Go ahead.
Yeah, there we go. Okay, let's see what I got here. I got Florida Gulf Coast upsetting Florida State. I previewed that one.
Right.
I've got, and what you would call an upset, Virginia Commonwealth over. St. Mary's. I don't have that one. So I got St. Mary's. Okay, where do we go? The 12-5, no, Notre Dame is too good for Princeton, even though Princeton's got 119 in a row.
Right.
And I did give a little thought to Bucknell, and I see it's a chic thing already. I've noted it's already chic. It's always a chic, that it's chic to pick Bucknell over West Virginia, but Bobby Huggins' guys are just too physical for those wonderful scholars from Lewisburg.
I agree with you. What about, and I know you wouldn't consider, are you picking Northwestern? Are you giving Wilbon?
I am with a heavy heart, I am picking the Commodores.
You are. That would be an upset.
With a heavy heart. Oh yeah, I
you picked three knives.
Favored. Vandy actually favored.
Tectonic shaking rattling 9-8. Yeah, I'm picking that.
All right, Gonzaga Vanderbilt. At what point does Gonzaga go out? Gonzaga Vanderbilt.
They go out later in the round. They're beating Vanderbilt. The okay. Zags are beating. This is not the end of the road. They're beating Vanderbilt.
Notre Dame West Virginia in a game that could produce 90 points to the winner easily.
Yeah, I like Notre Dame in that game. But I like that's a real toss-up game to me. Depending on what West Virginia brings to the table, on certain days they are really, really good, really good. But I like Notre Dame. I like the way they played in the tournament in New York, and I like them.
All right, Maryland, Florida Gulf Coast.
Maryland, Trimble will have 35 points.
Ooh, okay.
No, 30.
St. Mary's, Arizona.
Yeah, Arizona is going to beat St. Mary's, and Arizona is very, very.
I think Arizona has the easiest path to the Final Four of any good team.
Well, you can say that. Well, because the next game they're playing the Zags, and whoever wins that game, once that hurdle's done, they'll look back and say, "Yeah, we had the easiest." I agree with you. I think this is the softest overall division.
Yes,
softest
I do
overall. But the two teams at the top are very good. But after that, it doesn't begin to compare in depth with the other regions.
So you have Gonzaga playing Arizona, and you have
who Arizona coming? Ending the dream that the Zags are not going to a Final Four. Now this is where I get a win-win. I am desperately rooting for them to get there, the Zags, but I don't think they're going to beat Arizona, so I win either way. I win. I sound smart if Arizona wins, I mean, you know, and because I picked them to win, but if the Zags win, I'm thrilled. I'm happy, so I can't lose them.
You're hedged.
All right, Arizona, Duke.
Duke.
And Kansas, UCLA.
Kansas, UCLA. UCLA. We're going to have the replay of the 1964 championship game.
So you have UCLA winning.
And UCLA won 96-80, I believe, something like that. And had a big run at the end of the first half. And the beginning of the second half, they had like a something O run. But and say hello to your new national champions, same as your five-time previous national champions. The Dukies are going to complete this incredible year.
Wow.
All the controversy about Grayson Allen, Coach K getting hurt, the injuries, guess what? They're going to be tears streaming down the cheeks of people in Chapel Hill as they watch the Dukies cut down the nets.
Thank you, Bob, and good luck with the podcast.
Thanks a lot, Tony. Just remember, Tony, 9-8-9 is not enough.
Right. Bob Ryan, boys and girls. Bob Ryan with what we like to call the new math, in which 9-8 is not an upset, because for the rest of the world, 9-8 is an upset.
He was on a good phone today.
Yeah, usually his phone is terrible, and his insistence that a 9-8 is not an upset drives everybody in this room crazy. We will take a break. When we come back, Michael Wilbon will join us with his picks. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Harry's ad. Everyone in this room has the Harry's razor except for Luke, who has been razorless for how many months now?
I have not had a traditional shave since July of 2016. I've just done a few trims at hipster beard barbershops.
Okay, but if it ever comes that you shave that beard, we'll get you a Harry's razor.
If I have to go back to work, which unfortunately probably will be.
At some point you will.
At some point in the near future.
At some point you will.
I'll need some Harry's razors. Yeah.
Harry's was started by two guys, Jeff and Andy, who were fed up with being overcharged for razors, so they decided to start their own razor company to give guys everywhere what they deserve, a great shave at a fair price. They bought a factory with 100 years of blade-making experience so they could make their own high-quality razors, sell them online, ship them directly to you for half the price of the leading brand. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. 5 German-engineered blades, a lubricating strip, a flex hinge for a comfortable glide, a trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, and a weighted ergonomic handle. All this for $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you're going to pay at the drugstore. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades that they want you to try their most popular trial set for free, which comes with a razor handle of your choice, 5-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. It's free when you sign up. You just pay a small fee for shipping. When Luke announces that Luke is back in the game and working again and needs to get rid of this beard, at that point we get Luke the Harry's razor. To redeem your trial offer, just go to harrys.com/TonyK right now. That's Harry's, harrys.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Mm-hmm.
This comes to us from Christina Ferguson in Alexandria, Virginia, who says, I'm a 35-year-old local little. I love the original music on the show. Here's a tune with some Latin flavor, appropriately called Latin Woman. It was recorded in my living room by my dad's group, Nebula, in 1980. My dad, Bob, an engineer who is also of a certain age, both wrote the song and sings lead vocals. I asked him to convert this song to an MP3 format and email it to me for the show. He chuckled and sent me a CD. To his credit, he mysteriously got the song off a cassette tape and onto a CD using only the computer in his basement. In other news, Christina writes, I'm a numbers Jedi. My undergraduate MIT degree has a palindrome on it, as I graduated in 2002, and my birth certificate states the numerically pleasing March 14th, Pi Day, as well as famed mathematician Albert Einstein's birthday. Clearly, the numbers are strong within me. Like that. I should mention that, once again, I got a license plate yesterday, DC license plate, AF1234, a fabulous license plate. Michael Wilbon joins us now. Wilbon was with us last night in the famous pop-up show.
By the way, before we get to Mike, I just want to ask you guys, I can't finish this huge bowl of chili I have in front of me.
What I want to ask.
Yeah, does somebody want to
Wilbon
finish this?
Went ballistic.
Oh, went nuts.
Went ballistic that Chad...
Don't you own the place?
I'm a part owner, and we didn't have... You were so angry about the chili.
I'm still angry. Brother can't get a bowl of chili? America? What I got to do? I got to go to Ben's? Huh?
Chilbon.
So we're going to make sure chili is on the menu. We're going to call it Wilbon's Chili.
No, you're not.
You know, yes... I own it.
I came in last week, one of those nights where you were gone by 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I came and I had chili. I loved it. Sat around. I'm thinking, this could be a regular thing. I flew from L.A. I could have gotten some kind of sort of weird food at Dulles. I said, no, you know what?
Have the chili.
My dear friend Tony Kornheiser's got a pop-up podcast.
Yeah.
I can get some chili.
Yeah.
I can pay for it. I don't care. I'm going to get a good bowl of that Chad's
chili.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
Oh, wait, no, it's off the menu.
But you had lovely little crab cakes. They love it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, here we go. Sure. Here we go. You've had 24 hours to look at this. We're ready to go. We're going to start up on the top right.
I got to get my bracket.
What did you think we were going to do here?
Might come in handy.
Yeah.
I'm sitting by the fireplace. I had to get up way too early this morning. I had to get up at 7.
I was already up for 3 hours.
Very dark, even still at 7.
Up at 7. What is the point? Why do people do that? They don't have to.
Well, it doesn't really make sense.
If you're not a chain gang, why do you need to get up at 7?
All right. So, you ready? In the Kansas bracket, anything in the first round, any upsets at all, including the 9-8?
If we start over on the, we read left to right. If we start over with Villanova.
No. We're starting with Kansas.
Why? Why do you start there?
Kansas, because that's the way I start. I read right to left.
Jewish.
Japanese.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kim. I don't think I have anything. I was really tempted. Yes, I do. I have Nevada beating Iowa State.
That's a big one.
I'm really tempted to have Vermont beat Purdue. Only conference loyalty is leading me not to do that. I have Rhode Island beating Creighton.
Okay.
You're taking Izzo out, though.
An 11-6. I'm taking Izzo out. Okay. Yeah, I am. I'm tempted to go that way, too. I also have Oklahoma State beating Michigan. I just think that the four games and all the emotion and all that's a wonderful story. I think it just has a shelf life, and I think we've reached it.
Yeah, well, we had Ryan on earlier, and I asked him the same thing. Would you take out Michigan now? And he says, absolutely not. They're kids. They have 5 days. That's enough time. No, not taking them out.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm not buying that, and I'm rooting for Michigan.
All right, Kansas-Miami.
I'm going Kansas. I get chalky after,
All right, Nevada-Purdue.
Yeah, I get Purdue.
And at the bottom, Rhode Island-Oregon?
I know the easy thing now is going to be to slide Oregon out of there since they're missing the big kid.
Yes.
With his torn ACL, which is just an awful thing to have happen any time, but certainly on the eve of the tournament. My God. I'm going to still pick Oregon to beat Rhode Island, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to pick Oregon to beat Louisville.
Okay. Ooh. That's okay. I mean, I don't think Louisville's that good.
I got Louisville beating Michigan. Right. I got Louisville beating
Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. And then I got Louisville and Oregon, and I got Oregon winning. So I got Kansas and Oregon playing.
And who you got beating?
And then I got Kansas. They get chalky. If Oregon, they wouldn't be in that position on the bracket if they had their big kid, but I'm going to take Kansas over Oregon.
Let me just throw this at you with Kansas. I've watched Kansas a lot this year. I think Kansas is very good. But they have escaped four to five losses, either in overtime or literally in the last 30
yeah,
seconds of
that
games.
Concerns me. That's
They've
why...
been very lucky. They could have a much different record.
Yeah, but I don't. The only team. I mean, I don't think Purdue has enough. I mean, I've watched Purdue a lot in person, being a Big Ten guy.
Yeah.
The question is, I keep going back. I keep looking at Michigan State. I keep staring at it. And I have Michigan State beating Miami, but I don't have Michigan State beating Kansas. I don't have the guts to pull the trigger on that.
But, you know, Tony,
you just said it was Miami you had. Now you want to go Michigan State?
Oh, 9-8. I'm sorry. 9-8. I have Michigan State beating Miami. I have Michigan State beating Miami, but I have Michigan State losing the game.
No faith in Larinaga.
Okay. Larinaga. Oh,
well, I guess I got a little bit more faith in Izzo.
Okay.
And I like both those guys. Those are two
fine. Izzo's not going out in the first round 2 years in a row.
That was my logic, too.
But okay. let me just say this about what you said about Kansas. The other way to look at that is, and this is one of the things I like about Kansas, is they have veteran guards, like we talked about last night, Frank Mason III, who's been there about 11 years now, it seems.
And they may have the best player.
And that helps you down the stretch in those
games.
They
may have the best player in Jackson. He's the most talented. He may be the most talented player in the entire tournament.
All right, in the North Carolina bracket on the bottom right, who you got?
I got Seton Hall, if you want to call that an upset.
Yes.
I know it's popular to pick Middle Tennessee. I like Minnesota and what I've seen from Minnesota, so I'm not going there. And I like Butler. I know it's really popular to go Middle Tennessee, Winthrop for a lot of people. And by the way, good. If you're picking brackets and you've got some stones, some onions,
right?
As Bill Raftery would say, then good. That's what you do with brackets. I'm fairly chalky in this region, even though it's the hardest region. I got Cincinnati, UCLA. I have Wichita State beating Dayton.
So that's an upset.
For me,
that's an upset.
Because my Northwestern Wildcats beat Dayton in the regular season, neutral site.
Right.
And I got, of course, Kentucky.
Okay.
And I wind up with Kentucky, UCLA, Minnesota, and UNC. And I'm tempted. Carolina's missing something. There's something that's not that this, you know, as they performed up to all expectations and all potential last year and getting to within a basket of the national championship victory. This year it's just like, Something's missing with them. I don't know quite what it is, but I'm going to take them over UNC. I'm going to take them over Minnesota.
And what about at the bottom?
And at the bottom, I got UCLA beating Kentucky and UCLA beating Carolina.
Wilbon and I are in love with UCLA, but I haven't seen them all that much. I'm just in love. I'm in love with the fact that the freshman in the middle, Leaf, is really good.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball looks terrific. And Bryce Alford is as good a shooter as there is in all of college.
That's
so
right.
And they're well coached.
That's why I'm in love with them.
That's why
but I think if I saw them as much as I've seen Duke and North Carolina and Virginia, I might not be in love with them.
You know what? We don't talk much on PTI. We haven't done this story about LeVar Ball. But I will just tell you, here's where it comes into play. Has he put too much pressure on his own kid? Does his kid feel pressure? We don't know the answer to that, and we're not going to know it until, no matter what he says, we're not going to know it until he gets out there and plays. He got a thumb injury the other night. What is this kid up to? Is this kid going to be like Venus and Serena and just roll their eyes and say, my old man's a lunatic, and go out there and beat people's pants off for decades? Or is he going to be affected by this and shrink that his old man just runs his mouth and goes on TV and talks about how he picks his bride based on, you know, genetic
pool? Terrible.
I mean, you know,
it's like Jimmy the Greek, for God's sakes.
Listen.
Yao Ming.
I don't know about other cultures and communities. All of us, and by us, I mean we.
Right.
And by we, I mean in certain urban communities, all of us, without exception, grew up with a LeVar Ball. All of us. And, you know, it's just on some level it's entertaining. On some level it just wears you out. We've all got a LeVar Ball. And you just don't know how the kid's going to respond to it. But it seems like to me he's just called so much attention to his kid that he ought to just shut up and let his kid have the stage, but he's incapable.
Let's go top left, Villanova. Go ahead. Give me any upsets you got.
Villanova. I crossed out, just so you know the process here, the work process, I crossed out UNC Wilmington over Virginia. But that's what I wrote down initially. Virginia goes through such scoring lapses that it just bothers me. And, you know, they're not as good as they were last year. They're not close to as talented as they were last year. But I'm going to go chalky. I'm going to take, but I am taking East Tennessee over Florida. So I got a 13 over a 4 there. I'm really tempted to take, if it wasn't a play-in game, if I knew that USC was going to get SMU, I would take them. The slurpage of SMU is way, way, way out of proportion.
But you have SMU in that
I
game.
I do have SMU.
Okay.
I'm really ready.
What about Marquette, South Carolina?
I have Marquette winning. I have Marquette beating South Carolina. I think I watched Marquette a lot this year, and I just think Marquette has a flair for emotional big games, and I don't like South Carolina. So I got Marquette there. I got Duke. I got Gonzaga, of course.
Do you have Wisconsin or Virginia Tech?
I'm sorry, I have Wisconsin. I have Wisconsin.
Okay, now take us into the 16s. Villanova, Wisconsin.
I have Wisconsin coming. I have Wisconsin.
You have them beating the overall number one seed right
then
and there.
And that's a total bias on my part.
That's okay. Virginia, East Tennessee State.
I have Virginia.
Really? So now you got them all the way to the 16.
I'm in for a dime. I'm not in for a dollar. Maybe I'm in for a quarter.
SMU Baylor.
I have SMU upsetting Baylor.
Even though you hate SMU,
I hate Baylor more.
Okay, and Marquette Duke.
In other words, I'm telling you, I don't like Texas college basketball. I got Duke, and I'm real hesitant, but I got Duke. I got Duke beating SMU and Duke Wisconsin and Wisconsin. I got Wisconsin going to the Final Four, and I know Wisconsin can go in the first round.
You have Wisconsin in the Final Four.
Yeah.
What?
This is a Big Ten prejudice.
That's onions right there.
Why? The beatdown they put on Northwestern on Saturday?
I've watched Wisconsin all year. These guys are new to you guys. They're not new to me.
No, I've seen Wisconsin. I've watched Wisconsin for 3 years.
I don't know.
I like Wisconsin. I do. I just, at the end of the game for me with Wisconsin, it's not quite as, you know, the way you feel about North Carolina.
It's just matchups. I don't.
Okay.
You know, I like teams with some strength, some physical strength.
They've
some
got brawn. That.
Some experience, and Wisconsin's got all those.
So, yeah, that's a big upset. Wilbon rolling to win. Because that's a big upset.
A Wisconsin-Duke regional final would be a nice rematch from about 3 years back.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the region.
Duke's a better team there, and Duke will probably win if they have a matchup, but I'm going with the Badgers.
Let's get to the only region that matters. The only region with the last Power 5 team to ever make it for the first time. Northwestern's Wildcats. Give me the first round here. Northwestern, the matchup of Northwestern-Vanderbilt is the highest College Board matchup on the board.
You think
higher even than Notre Dame-Princeton. It is higher in the aggregate. It is.
Yeah, well, I'm going to pick my team to beat Vandy. And so going further down, obviously, I've got Notre Dame. I've got West Virginia. I know some people are picking Bucknell there. I have Xavier beating Maryland.
Yes.
I have Florida State.
Not endearing
winning.
To the locals. Okay.
They're overseeded, though.
I don't know if they're overseeded. I just, I got some issues with Maryland right now. I'm not going to go there.
Okay.
I'm not going to be ugly on a day in which my team is in the tournament for the first time. I'm not going to.
Oh, Wilbon doesn't like the way they behave. Right. Does not like the way their fans behave.
Well, okay, now you got me into it.
It's okay. You can say it.
Everyone knows the fans are classless.
If you want to behave in a low rent manner, do it in the ACC. Leave it there. Don't come to our conference.
You don't live in Cleveland. You live in Cincinnati.
That's right. When you come to our conference, okay. Behave like, look around, look at the landscape, and say, these people don't behave this way. You know, there's actually some camaraderie here. This isn't Duke. This isn't Virginia. This isn't the hatred of that. You know, people say, why can't the ACC network work? Because they hate each other, and they behave badly toward each other, and they don't root for each other, and there's no camaraderie, and it'll never work. Well, you're in a new conference now, all right? So learn how to act in the new conference. I mean, we don't want you anyway. We don't want you people.
In fairness to Wilbon, I was at the Big Ten tournament, and there were some well-hydrated Maryland boys in camo Under Armour sweatshirts
making
complete buffoons out of themselves.
You know, seriously,
it's Maryland way. Rutgers,
I'm trying to be nice about this. It helps us to be in the Big Ten, to be in Washington. We got kids from Sidwell and other places being recruited. You know, good counsel. If you can't behave, I sat next to the commissioner of the Big Ten last week at a game. I said, get them out if they can't behave. And then it comes true on the weekend. So, yeah, I'm a neighbor. Anybody want to get in my face outside of old Georgetown Road today? Go ahead.
Stay at Bentley's Pump House. Do not leave Bentley's.
I'll take a swing at you. Go right
Stay
in.
Florida State, Florida Gulf Coast. A great matchup. Who you got?
Tony, what you did. Now you're going to have the cheese boy quoting me.
Worry about the cheese
no
boy.
No one's listening.
Where were we?
Gulf Coast and Florida State.
I'm going to take Florida State. I know it's popular to take Gulf Coast.
It
I know
is.
Gulf Coast will be on a crusade. But Gulf Coast is on the radar now, and so it's not going to be quite as easy. I'm taking Florida State.
St. Mary's VCU.
You know, I've liked St. Mary's all year, probably too much, but I'm going to stay with them one more time.
Okay.
By the way, that Florida Gulf Coast and Florida State game in Orlando,
very
too,
cool.
Which
it's
makes
very,
it very cool, yeah.
All right, big one, Gonzaga Northwestern. How far you go?
You know, how many times do I get to pick my own team
do
to shock the world?
Come on, do it.
So I'm taking, you know, the Wildcats.
Yeah, way to go, Wilbon.
You know, and
way
I'm not
go.
Even going to be, as I told you guys last night, I'm not going to be at that game.
All right.
I can't be at the
but
game.
But you're picking the Wildcats over your boy, Nigel Goss,
yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah,
Williams
Goss. One time I got it. You know,
all right, Notre Dame, West Virginia.
With Nigel.
Notre Dame, West Virginia.
I got West Virginia beating Notre Dame.
Xavier, Florida State.
West Virginia's style of play is really tough to deal with.
I think Notre Dame's better than people think they are.
I think
that's
they're pretty good.
Personally.
I think West Virginia's pretty good, too.
Xavier, Florida State.
I have Xavier beating Florida State.
And St. Mary's, Arizona. You got
and
Arizona.
I have Arizona.
Okay.
And I have Arizona beating West Virginia.
Right. No, okay, right, okay.
So Arizona beating West Virginia. I have West Virginia. I have us winning two games, not putting the pressure on my boys any further than that.
All right, Wisconsin, Arizona.
I have Arizona.
Another one
Arizona
of Wilbon's hometowns.
Wisconsin.
And Kansas, UCLA.
And I have UCLA beating Kansas.
Whoa, an all-Western final
all
for the first time forever
final,
and ever
UCLA
and ever.
UCLA beating Arizona.
UCLA cuts them down. All right, I'll see you later. I don't know about tomorrow, because tomorrow with all that snow, I don't know what we're going to do.
We're going to work.
Yeah. How are we going to get there?
Y'all.
How are we going to get there? And by
we're
we,
gonna,
I mean
we're
me.
We're going to actually drive, because it's like not 3 feet of snow, it's like 6 inches.
No, it's going to be close to a foot.
Yeah. Right,
after those Maryland fans plow you in your driveway, Will, I'm not sure. You're going to need the Range Rover.
Get those camo out and put some salt down. Get those camo uniforms out and get over
right. it. See you later. See you later. Michael Wilbon, boys and girls. We will take a quick break. We will come back with the OC, Jim O'Connell. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Thanks to our new sponsor, Upside.com. It's the better way to buy travel. You can save a ton of money and get an Amazon gift card worth hundreds of dollars free. Save big on travel. Get a big gift card every trip. Upside.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is Bobby Freeman. This is Old Guy Radio for the day. This is Do You Want to Dance? It's been covered by 10,000 people. The Beach Boys covered it 9 times. Nigel, you say you have some interesting facts about this.
Yes. Well, first of all, he wrote this when he was 17, 16 or 17. A visiting record demo guy was just in the studio and he was like, oh, that's pretty good. We should sign you. Signed him. They recorded this and released it when he was only 17. And as
his only hit.
Yeah, his only hit. It was 1958. And according to legend, because Bobby Freeman's from San Francisco, Jerry Garcia, notably of the Grateful Dead, played lead guitar on this.
Is that right?
Well, according to rumors, some people say he did, some people say he didn't, but it's out there. So
I'm in the camp that says he did.
You would have been very young, but
you would have been very young at that time.
Yes.
All right. The OC, Jim O'Connell, joins us now. The OC has participated in the Celebrity Challenge since it has begun. Did you ever win this thing? Have you ever won it?
No.
Okay, good.
I never win any of them.
Good. That's great. And that's why we have the OC. That's Pat Forty finishes
but
last.
You always intro the OC as knowing more about it than anyone else.
The OC. Yeah. Well, nobody knows more.
Which is
than
why
the
you
OC.
Can't win it. You can't possibly win it. If you know,
you ready to start with the Kansas
burdened
the Kansas
by what he knows.
Bracket?
Yes, sir.
Okay, let's go. Any upsets at all, including though Bob Ryan doesn't want to admit this, including a 9 over an 8.
Nevada is the only one in that group.
Okay, so we've got Miami advancing over Michigan State, second straight year that Izzo goes out early. We have Purdue. So you don't like – you like Creighton over Rhode Island?
Yeah, I do. I think people have just fallen in love with Rhode Island in the last couple of days.
Yes.
You know, that last bubble team. And they're good, but Creighton is pretty good. I watched in the whole Big East tournament. They're finally over not having their point guard, Maurice Watson, who got hurt. and they're playing really well now.
Okay, Kansas, Miami.
Kansas.
And Nevada, Purdue.
Purdue.
You're going to end up with chalk over here. Creighton, Oregon.
Yeah. Oregon.
Okay, and at the bottom, Louisville, Michigan.
Louisville.
Okay, so that is four chalk teams. Kansas, Purdue, Ock.
Kansas.
And at the bottom there, Oregon, Louisville.
Louisville.
You really like them? I've watched them a few times this year, and I just think, I don't know. I mean, I just don't know with that team.
Well, that's it. They're one of those teams you don't know which one's going to show up, but when the right one does,
they're pretty good.
And Oregon had a really serious injury losing Chris Boucher, so I think that's going to make a difference with them.
Kansas, Louisville, to get out.
Kansas.
I've had this discussion. I'm going to have it all week long. Are you bothered by or are you encouraged by the fact that four or five times this year, Kansas went down to the absolute wire and won games that they could easily have lost?
Oh, I think that's a positive.
So
I look at it that they know how to win them and that they're there at the end.
Okay. Let's go to the North Carolina, where the 1-2-3 is the hardest 1-2-3 in the entire tournament because it's Kentucky, UCLA, and North Carolina. Any upsets at all in the first round?
Seton Hall.
Right.
And that's it.
So you're not tempted on the Middle Tennessee and Minnesota or anything like that?
No, not that one. Minnesota, they're not really good, but they can play well and when they get going. And I think they'll win their first game. They have such a comeback from last year. I give them a break that they're going to be in there and win that first game.
Dayton, Wichita State.
Dayton.
You like Dayton that much?
Yeah. Well, Dayton's pretty good. I just think Wichita State's a little overrated. And this whole thing about them not being the 10 seed, I don't know where people wanted them to go. I mean, how high were you going to put them? So I just look at that. I think Dayton is okay. Dayton had a big upset, too. So I think they're going to come back from that in the A-10 tournament.
Okay. UNC Seton Hall.
Carolina.
And at the bottom of that, Minnesota Butler.
Butler.
I guess I'm the only one who doesn't like Butler. I just don't think much of Butler. I don't think much of, to be honest with you, I don't think much of the Big East this year. They're okay.
They're okay, but they're very okay. Getting 70% of the conference in, that's pretty impressive.
Okay. Yeah, that is. They got a lot more teams than I thought they were going to get. Cincinnati, UCLA.
UCLA.
And Kentucky, Dayton.
Kentucky.
All right, this sets up, and I think everybody is going to have this. UNC, UCLA, and Kentucky are three of the five most important programs in the history of college basketball, and they're all in the same region. UNC, Butler.
Carolina.
And at the bottom?
Kentucky, because UCLA won that meeting in the regular season at Rupp.
Yes.
And I just think Kentucky's good enough now, the way they're playing. They're actually playing some defense, and that's the big thing that he had to get them to do, and they're doing it.
It's an interesting thing to me that the teams that this year and the past few years, I guess, have the most freshmen and the most turnover are Kentucky and Duke. And people need to see that by the middle of March, they're real veteran teams. They're good. They're good by then. I mean, they're good.
When you're playing your 33rd, 34th game, you're no longer a freshman.
Yeah, this isn't high school. They're very good. All right, UNC, Kentucky.
Kentucky.
So we have two K teams in the Final Four for the OC. Let's go to the Villanova side of the board, and any upsets at all?
Virginia Tech.
Over Wisconsin.
Right.
Wilbon has just picked Wisconsin to go to the Final Four, so he would not have picked Virginia Tech. Okay, go ahead.
UNC Wilmington.
Mm-hmm.
And Marquette.
You like Marquette? Well, you see them a lot.
I don't like South Carolina. That's a bigger one than that.
That makes sense. Do you like SMU, or do you think they're overrated?
No, I think they're pretty good. I've seen them play a couple of times, and their only problem is they have no depth at all. They just play six guys, but they get out and get going, and you have to match up with them. They're a tough matchup for people.
All right, Villanova, Virginia Tech.
Villanova.
And UNC, Wilmington, and Florida.
Florida.
And SMU and Baylor.
SMU.
Yeah, I don't like Baylor. But I mean, I think
I don't like Baylor.
I think I just don't like the school, and I don't like any of their athletic programs, and I think my prejudice is too obvious, you know?
But don't you think they could do this us against the world spiel?
They could.
Perhaps?
I just don't think they're all that good. How about Marquette Duke?
Duke.
Okay, so we have Villanova and Florida, and I'm going to assume you like Villanova at this point.
Right.
Because I like Villanova. Every time I see them, they win. And SMU Duke?
Duke.
And coming out?
Villanova.
How impressed are you? Because I like Duke a lot, and I like Villanova a lot. Every time I watch Villanova, it seems to me, that when they need to play well, they play well. That they've got really veteran players who know what they're doing. They're really good.
And that's the thing now in college basketball. When you can use the word veterans with a team, take it and run.
I agree with that. I do. Okay, so let's go to Gonzaga. Any upsets at all in the first round?
Vanderbilt.
You have them over Northwestern.
Right. Xavier.
Xavier and, over Maryland.
BCU over St. Mary's.
So you're not tempted on Florida Gulf Coast?
No, I just think that people are thinking this is the same team from a few years ago, and it's not. I mean, they're okay, but Florida State is huge. And when you get a matchup like that with a team that has a lot of size going against a mid-major, usually the size wins out.
Florida State has a starter who's 7 feet and about 300. And they bring a kid off the bench who's 7'4".
Yeah,
I mean, they look,
they're really big.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're a pretty good team, Florida State. So
I mean, people were jumping all over yesterday. Maybe they were a little overrated by being the number 10 overall team, but they're not that far behind. You know, people are saying they shouldn't have been 10. Well, what should they have been, 12? You know, so you're kind of nitpicking there.
All right, Gonzaga-Vanderbilt.
Gonzaga.
Notre Dame-West Virginia.
Notre Dame.
I think Notre Dame's better than most people think they are.
Oh, definitely.
I do, I really do. Xavier-Florida State.
Florida State.
And VCU-Arizona.
Arizona.
Arizona's in a great spot. This is an easy region. Gonzaga-Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
So you take Gonzaga out right there.
Yeah, I just think that Notre Dame is a tough team to match up with them, and they can really play defense. And I don't think Gonzaga's seen a whole lot of defense lately. You know, they did earlier in the season. They beat a couple of good teams. But once they got into the West Coast Conference, they haven't really been tested. BYU got them at home, but I think that was one of those deals that, you know, BYU had the perfect night, and they couldn't just match up with Mika that night.
Florida State, Arizona.
Arizona.
And the big one, Arizona-Notre Dame.
Arizona.
Yeah, I think they're in, too. I think, and this will be the first time. I think a lot of people look at Sean Miller and say he's the best coach out there who's never been to a Final Four. And I look at his path, and it seems easier than anybody else's this year.
Yeah, down on the bottom of the bracket, it definitely is. And they just have to have that big game in the regional final.
All right, Villanova-Arizona.
Arizona. And I'm sorry, Villanova.
Villanova, okay. And Kansas-Kentucky.
Kansas.
And who do you like?
Villanova.
A repeat?
Yeah, I figure, what the heck? We haven't had one in a while, so let's have some laughs with it.
Florida, the last one, right?
Right.
Florida, in
2007.
I like Villanova. I think they're a really good team. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I
don't think they're great. I think they're really good.
Right, and they find a way to win. They're one of those kind of teams, and, you know, it's an easy way out to say that, but they really are one of those kinds of teams. And after seeing them in the Big East tournament, you know, winning in different styles. They came out and, you know, Seton Hall really punched them in the mouth and they hung in and beat them. And then they, in the championship game, they were in control the whole way. So I think they're one of those kind of teams. And Jay's the kind of coach who's not going to put pressure on the team to repeat. He's going to let them just play in this tournament.
And veteran, to your earlier point. I mean, they in Kansas, so you got them.
They're veteran teams. All right, thank you, Ock.
Okay, thank you.
The Ock, boys and girls. The Ock never wins this thing, but I tend to find myself agreeing with his picks more than anybody else's.
It's pretty sound.
Picks. I always think so.
And chalky.
Well, I think a lot of people are going to be chalky.
Not in the West, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a one, chalky. a two.
Yeah.
No. All right, that's good. So we will take a break. That's it for today.
That's right.
In other words, we'll
that's it for brackets.
Yes. Yeah. And tomorrow, we'll just do brackets all week.
Why
and
not?
We'll get them in. If we do a Thursday show, especially if we don't do a Tuesday show, if we do a Thursday show, we'll have it done before noon.
Right.
I mean, it'll drop before noon.
You could listen to it by noon almost.
Because we'll have Wi-Fi here, even though we don't seem to have
at the undisclosed
anywhere
and
else.
And Miller Wafers.
Yeah. And
chili.
It's chili.
Don't know about the chili.
Chili and Wi-Fi.
Wilbon.
How about chili and Wi-Fi as a name for your restaurant?
Need more bandwidth.
Chili and Wi-Fi.
That's not bad.
That could be good.
And underneath, we don't deliver on either. all right, so we will come back with email and a jingle. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find qualified and quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites, and now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all with a single click. Find candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll in to ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies and thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. One more time to try it for free, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
What I got, a football-picking monkey. What I got, I thought a chimp becomes a monkey. Courtney's got a lock like you put on your trunk seat. Carvel's supposed to call, but his schedule's kind of funky. What I got a brown rice, he's all Triscuit. I got invited to your wedding, but I missed it. My son Michael makes a mighty fine brisket. Scared to death of flying, but sometimes I gotta risk it. The picking brackets with Tony Kornheiser. Pat 40's wise, Phil's mom is wiser. To Michael Wilbon, it's not a surprise. Oh, how come everybody questions Junior's wayside? Oh, do you know who I am? Who I am now? Do you know who I am? Who I am now? Do you know who I am? Who I am now? I can name every member of the Rascal.
Elliot Olshansky does the lyrics from Commack, New York, in Suffolk County. Robert Berg, the incomparable Robert Berg, does the lyrics, and Elliot writes, best regards from Suffolk County, where I'll be rooting for deep tournament runs from the men's and women's teams from Maryland, the alma mater of the woman to whom I'm related by marriage, as I went 0-3 on tournament bids from my undergraduate and graduate alma maters and my employer. But congrats to Jack Perry's LIU Brooklyn Blackbirds on a 20-win season. It's not LIU Brooklyn, it's just LIU.
Just LIU.
Before we get into the mailbag, I want to say thanks to Michael Wilbon, Bob Ryan, and Jim O'Connell for coming on. I'd also like to thank our sponsors today, Upside.com, Harry's Razors, ZipRecruiter, and Movement Watches. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show, wherever you listen to podcasts, including iTunes, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen through iTunes, please leave us a review. We have this very long thing here from Don Harris in Fayetteville, Arkansas, that is wonderful. And he, you know, he makes up brackets and he makes up names. And he says that the four number one seeds are the Sheena Parveens, who go up against the 16 Chuck Bells in the lockout tournament. Bowling Alley Fries, who should have no trouble, versus 16 Fighting Kip Schmiemans. Numerology, a heavy favorite, versus the hated 16 seed People of the Pod. And I Have a Piano, who should vanquish 16 seed Soccer Fantasy Team because, well, they play soccer. It goes on. It's brilliant. I love it. I just can't read all of it. Don Harrison, Fayetteville, Arkansas. From Dina in Damascus, please ask Super G how the Reveille is at Wardaka. We're going there to celebrate the beginning of my last year of my 40s on St. Patrick's Day.
It is actually one of my favorite beers there. The Reveille is the stout.
Okay.
There.
Love a stout.
From Joe Farrell from Olney, Maryland, and he writes, Dominican Republic 10, Colombia 3. He says, I'm sorry your club lost. Who pitched? Bubis?
Colombia.
I was texting with General Ian Khan this weekend. We had a little bit of a text exchange, and he was watching the WBC.
Colombia
very
got
excited
screwed because they had a play at the plate to win it in 9 innings, and the umpire called him out. It was a tight play. The umpire then ejected 2 Colombian starters. Latin Americans are passionate. I watch baseball on that continent. You can't eject them for screaming. It's a different cultural norm. It's
continent
ridiculous.
Name-dropping by Luke Russell.
Awful.
From Andy in Fairfax, Virgin Meal at Chad's on Sunday for the pop-up. Unfortunately, all the tables in the podcast vicinities were already taken, so we sat at the bar. We could not hear the collective wisdom of Chris and Michael and Wilbon, etc.
Better off.
Or what from the new TVs at the bar. Instead, the Chad's house sound system treated us to some sort of flashback to what I must assume are Maury Povich's favorite hits of the late 90s and early aughts, including NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye, Sister Hazel, Hazel's All For You, and the Friends thing. They can't have that. You've got to put the sound on.
Yeah.
You've got to put the sound on. Yeah. No.
For the TVs?
I own this.
For the broadcast?
Yes. For whatever. No matter, I enjoyed my meal and catching up with an old college friend over dinner. I'll hear the podcast tomorrow. Before I go, given two of your proclivities, I think you're the most qualified person to answer this. How should one most efficiently arrange cash in a billfold or wallet? Biggest bills outside, unless they're 50s and 100s,
then
they get tucked inside.
Yeah. No,
I always put 20s on the outside.
I put the ones on the outside because I don't want to get robbed.
No, 20s on the outside. No, largest to smallest, front to back, vice versa, or by serial number, not by serial number. I'll hang up and listen to Ricky Martin, Sugar Ray Hanson, or whatever else is next up on the Chad's Jukebox. Mike from Manhasset. Luke Russert's name for Chad, the Fringe, got me thinking of another name, Border Bar, because Chad's is on the border of Maryland and D.C. The D.C. area is the border between the North and the South. Also, it's alliteration, and who doesn't love alliteration? But then I thought people would just start calling it Borders, which didn't work out too well the last time. Might as well just call it Circuit City at this point.
I think I still have a Borders gift certificate.
It won't help you.
Still valid.
From Paul Stepanowski in Silver Spring, Maryland, after just watching La La Land, I am confused about your love for it. The opening number is a bunch of hipsters dancing on their cars in the middle of a traffic jam. I'd expect more of a imagine this happening to me on Connecticut Avenue reaction out of you. You think the street paving was bad? Wait till you're stuck behind hipsters dancing on cars. That's not a 5-minute wait in the jazz. Don't get me started on the jazz. I love this email. I did love the movie. I love the email. Anthony Rotunda, short-time listener, long-time observer of the satisfying numerical sequences here. On a regular basis, I alter my worldview to more appropriate align with the views of the show, much to the displeasure of the woman to whom I am not related by marriage, but do spend an immense amount of time with. Unfortunately, as a native son of Greensboro, North Carolina, a great place to raise a family, I cannot sit idly by nor endorse the bashing of one of the greatest places on earth. Greensboro is a source of many great events, from the surrender of Court Wallace at Yorktown, result of casualties suffered at the Battle of Guilford Courthouse, you're welcome, to the most memorable ACC tournament moments that any fan of the conference can recall. The tradition of hitting Stanley's Barbecue across from the Greensboro Coliseum between weekday sessions is as much a part of ACC basketball as Tobacco Road. My teachers wheeled in televisions in grade school, so those of us that didn't score tickets wouldn't miss the games. Now, I would love to invite you all down to Greensboro to fully convert you to believers, but I'm a recent addition to the Wilbon-praised millennial population of Washington, D.C., and do not have a vehicle in the city. Perhaps one of you could drive. I know a great route that bypasses Connecticut Avenue and can get us on the exclusive course of my youth, an 18-hole par 3 masterpiece named Iron Play. La Cheeserie, and P.S., please tell Michael, go Heels. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Come on, man. What are you doing out here, man?
the standard of my love, wherever you are, no matter how far, no matter who you're hanging out with, I hope you're having fun, wherever you are, no matter how far, no matter what, I will be wondering about the standard of my love.
We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.